this morning that this man he was talking about, and yes, he was God, but he is also man. Amen. He was born of a woman just like we was. He suffered just like we did. He got hungry just like we did. He laid down and went to sleep just like we did. He was a man. Amen. And on the cross, he suffered just like a man would have. Amen. Just because he's the Son of God did not mean he didn't feel pain and suffering and agony. Friend, I want you to know he felt every whip. He felt every plug. I believe every word that's spoken to him pricked his heart. Where people say, if you're who you say you are, why don't you come down and save yourself? He didn't come to save himself. He come to save us. Amen. Praise the Lord. John said, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. He said, but I want you to notice something. As this Lamb of God was showing up on the scene, he was trying to make it clear that he had come before him, that he had always been. One of the writers put it like this. He said, nothing was made that he did not make, that God put all things under his feet, that he formed the foundations of the world. I want you to know that even though he was slain on Calvary, Brother Andy, that wasn't where it started. His Father had a plan from the very beginning, and the Bible said he was slain before the foundation of the world, which means it's already set in place. He was already going to die before Adam ever even sinned. Praise the Lord. I'm glad God knows we need a Savior, and he set it up before the world began. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, he was here before John. That confused a lot of people. I've heard people use this scripture through the years, and one of the Gospels, one of the writers said, he's not even 50 years old as Abraham was, and he began to use that scripture there and talk about him not even being 50 years old. And I've heard people try to take it and say that Jesus didn't live just 32 or 33 years old. He is almost 50. Let me just say something real quick to help you out. It don't matter if he is 32 or 33 or 45 or 50, friend. I'm going to tell you something. He came in this world. He changed the course of this world. He altered the calendar. Amen. He took away the sin of the world. He made a bridge from earth to glory. And I'm glad I'm going to get to go to heaven. Amen. Why does it matter how old he was? Praise the Lord. I don't care how old you are. If you're 2 years old or 40 years old, if you can sing, I want to hear you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think one time Bryce was talking about he started playing the piano when he was 4 or 5. Amen. I don't know what age Alicia started playing. Her sister Debbie. I know Aaron started just since I've been here. And Morgan started just since I've been here. But I'll tell you something. I like to hear all of them get on that piano and play. Amen. I really do. Praise the Lord. We shouldn't go by people's age. I like to hear a little child in their innocence read God's word and quote the scriptures. One of the things that touches my heart the most is when children's trying to explain scripture sometimes. As adults, we'll think they messed it up when really God's using them and they hit it right on the head. Amen. I remember a little child years ago. Amen. They had asked her a question and said, do you know any Bible? And she said, yes, I do. They said, could you quote some? And she said, yeah, here's one of my favorite. The Lord is my shepherd and I don't want anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you got Jesus, why would you want anything else? You've got the best this world has to offer. It's what people said. But we've got the best that even out of this world had to offer. God sent His only Son, His perfect Son, without blemish, without spot. Praise the Lord. And He loved us enough that He died. And He didn't even deserve the death that He died. Amen. He died in our place. He was before John. But God had a plan in place that He wanted John to be the forerunner of Christ. Which meant in humanity, in men's years, John was born before Jesus. God had a purpose for John. And the Bible put it like this, that John was the forerunner of Christ. He was prepare the way and get the people ready for one that was coming after him. Amen. And we read this morning in Sunday school where Jesus said there was no man born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. But you better catch this. He said, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Amen. And what the writer was trying to get clear here, and I want you to understand this part. Amen. John knew he was older than Jesus. And in humanity, if you'd have it, he was an elder to him. He'd have been older than him. He should have been respectful towards John. But John knew there's more to Jesus than just his age. Praise the Lord. Not only was he Jesus in the flesh, but he was Emmanuel, God with us. God had come to earth and he led us enough. Praise the Lord. And he laid down his life on an old rugged cross for you and me. Amen. Ain't you glad of that? Where would you be this morning had he not come? He was before John, but he showed up after John. And he was called this, and I like this. He said, behold the Lamb. I want to stop there just for a second. He was more than just the Lamb. John didn't just say, behold the Lamb. He wasn't trying to get people to notice him. His coat, amen, like a lamb has. He wasn't trying to get people just to notice his meekness, Brother Mallory, as often a lamb would do. But John tagged something on the end of that. Amen, a lamb was a sacrifice. Back in the old Bible, it took away, it became an offering for the people, Brother EJ. And they'd sinned. And the lamb would be for individuals, and the lamb would be for the family. And the next times the lamb would be sacrificed for a nation. Amen. But I'll tell you something, the lamb wasn't good enough to get the thing done all the time. It's just for a yearly sacrifice. But you'll notice they always had it either for a person, a family, or a nation. And it was only good for a year. But Jesus come for the person, the family, the nation, and the world. Amen. All wrapped up in one. One last supreme sacrifice. Never to be replaced, praise the Lord. There's never been a sacrifice like him. And the Bible said there'd never be another. Amen. He's not coming back to sacrifice himself again. There's no need. He's done it one time. Boy, I tell you, I like that old song says. He won't ever have to die that way again. Once was enough for me. An old song says, once was enough for me to see how much he loved me. One lonely trip that he took up Calvary. When Jesus said it was finished, he meant for all eternity. He won't ever have to die again. Once was enough for me. Ain't you glad that once was enough? I didn't have to get saved but one time, praise the Lord. I don't have to get saved again. Yes, I repent. Yes, I've got to get right. Yes, I've got to go back to Calvary. But the sacrifice has been good for all eternity. Amen. I want you to know, son, he's not only a lamb, but he's the Lamb of God. Amen. You know what John said? He said, behold, I want you to see something. I want you to get your eyes fixed on him. You know what I was thinking this morning when I got up? We need to get our eyes fixed on him that he was a man. We need to get our eyes fixed on him that he was our lamb. Amen. But I want to get this last one. John kept going down. He said, I was out there baptizing one day. And he said the Holy Spirit came down out of heaven and descended down as in the form of a dove. And it lighted on him. Praise the Lord. You know what that means? It landed on him. I don't know about you. I don't claim to be much, but he said we could be the sons of God. I've had the Holy Ghost land down on me a few times. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. And you know what he said? John said, I didn't know whether that was him or not, but the one that sent me told me that the Holy Spirit was going to come down and land on him. He said not only it land on him, it stayed on him. It stayed there. Praise the Lord. You know why? Down here, the Spirit comes and goes. Brother Mallett, because we'll make mistakes. I'll feel the Holy Spirit this morning, this afternoon. Hopefully we won't. Me and Amanda might have words. And if we do tonight, I won't feel nothing. But that's because I'm a sinner. Praise the Lord. But the Holy Spirit stayed on Jesus from that day forward, because he never made a mistake. He never sinned. He never faltered. He was always in his Father's will. And so the Holy Spirit was always on him. Amen. If you're here this morning, you think you can just live with the Holy Spirit on you all the time, you've deceived yourself. I'm never going to forget. Brother Don, one of these days, you're going to be gone to glory if I live longer than you. And I'm going to be in the pulpit preaching. And I'm going to get high in the Spirit. And it's going to come back to me what he said. And I'm going to say, it's exhausting, ain't it? Amen. I like him old good sayings. Like that. This flesh can't handle of the Spirit all the time. It's not made to. Praise the Lord. But I want you to know something this morning. I like to get to sit in heavenly places every once in a while and feel his Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And getting good meat. I don't know about you. I can't wait to get to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I want you to get a glimpse this morning of something. I want you to look up and I want you to try to spiritualize Jesus walking to you, towards you, coming towards you, like the loving Savior that he is. And if your sins is in this world, which they are, all of ours are, I want you to think about the day that Jesus Christ come to where you is at. I like those song Kenneth Steele that sings it. He came where I was. He came to me. Amen. I couldn't get to him. I couldn't get to as high as esteemed as he was. Man couldn't get to God. We messed up the fellowship when Adam sinned. And when all of us became sinners of sin nature. Praise the Lord. But Jesus come down. And he became praise the Lord, that in between. That we needed to get man back to God. And to help us. Get our relationship fixed back to God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I wonder, do we really see Jesus for who he is? Who is he to you? Who is he to you? I want to bring one other thing out and I'll be done. I thought about, I hadn't heard Bobby sing in a lot of years, and I guess I hadn't heard of him passing away, but he must be in bad health. They used to sing with the I believe it was New Wind. And I was trying to think of the name, but they used to sing a song. They said, some of them calls him Master, Redeemer, Mighty God and King, Bread of Life, Lasting Word, Bright Morning Star. But then they said, but the angels call him Jesus, born of a virgin. And Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. What do you call him this morning? Is he your Lord? Is he your Lord this morning? Is he your Savior? Is he your friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Is he the one you talk to at midnight when everybody else is asleep in the bed? Praise the Lord. I want to come get a verse of song this morning. And I want you to just take a look this morning at Jesus. I want you to think about what he done for you. Where you'd be if it wasn't for him. I know somebody might say, well, Brother Jeff, that was a Christmas message. There ain't no such a thing as a Christmas message. We wouldn't have Christmas if it wasn't for Jesus, but Jesus is 365 days a year. He's not just the reason for the season, even though I like that saying. Whoever come up with that, that's a good saying. But he's the reason for every day. He's the reason for every time I preach. He's the reason why I sing. I think it was Nancy. Somebody was out in the fellowship hall practicing a song I used to sing years ago. It's been a long time. But I sing because. I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because he still has power to save. I sing because his grace is real to me. Praise him. I'll tell you, I think sometimes we just need to get a good glimpse of Jesus again. Need to get our eyes full of him. We got our eyes full of everything else. We got our eyes on our problems. We got our eyes on what we're going to face this year. Some of us got our eyes on bigger houses, finer cars. Some of us got our eyes on other people. Amen. We have a hard time even coming to church and having a good time because we got our eyes on what everybody else has done or hadn't done or how they're living or whatever. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to try to do. I try to already do it, but I'm going to try this year. And this is not a resolution. Resolutions go away in about 30 days, just in case you didn't know. Amen. If you're going on a diet today or you started 2 days ago, it'll be over here in about four Sundays. So we'll probably have a church dinner around February. Amen for everybody. But you know what I'm getting at? Resolutions don't last. Amen. But if we'll just really get our hearts fixed and say, Lord, help me to keep my eyes on you this year. You'll have a better year if you keep your eyes on the Lord. Peter started sinking when he took his eyes off the Lord, Brother Glenn. And he didn't pray some big fancy prayer. And I want to help you on this. I'm preaching this morning about helping us keep our eyes on Jesus. But when you do, it ain't if, but when. Sometime this year, you're going to take your eyes off the Lord and you're going to begin to sink. Don't pray some long, fancy prayer. God ain't impressed with how long we pray or the words we pray with. Just say something like Peter. Lord, save me. Blakey just reached out, took him by the hand, pulled him back up, and got him back up on top of the water. God can help us get back up on our feet. Y'all believe that this morning? There's been so many times that I've gotten spiritually discouraged. And I just prayed and God had picked me up. There's been times I've had things knock me down. Just like a truck coming from the side. Never seen just wham and just hit you. And somebody was preaching that the other night. Said, you know, we just don't even see it coming sometimes. And I've had to go to the Lord and ask. And the Lord just pick us up. And I'm telling you, I don't care what you've been through this morning. And I'm not saying it in a way that I don't care. I care about all people. But what I'm saying there is nothing that you've been through or going through or that you're facing right now that Jesus can't help you get back up on your feet. I want us to rise to our feet this morning. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Is your eyes on the Lord like they should be? Is our eyes fixed on Jesus? And who is he to us? Who is he to us? He asked Peter one time, he said, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who we need to see when we see him. That's who he is. That is who he is. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. I know who Jesus is in my life. And I believe there's others knows who Jesus is in your life. But I'm persuaded. I'm 100% persuaded. This is not a 99.9% thing. That sometime this past year, every one of us took our eyes off the Lord at some time. Some of us for a day. Some of us for a week. Some of us for a month. Some of us maybe all year. We really hadn't had our eyes focused on the Lord. Something happened in the first year and it just knocked us completely off track. I've had people say, well, that's why I don't go to church no more. I couldn't believe sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or he did this or she did that. You know why I come to church? I come to church because Jesus died for me. He loved me, and I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people has let me down through the years. A lot of people has said things that I never thought they'd say. I've seen things, Brother Mal, in church I never thought I'd see. But I can still stand here today after 25 years of preaching saying Jesus has never done nothing to me that made me not want to come to church. Ain't that good? That no matter how bad we are, how many weeks we're out of church, we can come back and the Holy Spirit moves his way back there to us and touches us and says, hey, I still love you. I'm still thinking about you. I still died for you. Come on, why they sing whatever verse or song's on his heart? How about it?